Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church, and it's great to have you join us today. You know, a long time ago, a guy joined this worship team that I was involved with, and he was a really good guitarist. He was a very good guitarist. He could do these screaming lead solos. I mean, he really knew what he was doing. The thing was that he always asked for another solo. Every song he wanted to do a solo, even if there was no instrumental written in, this guy wanted one. And eventually I said to him, mate, you just don't have to have a solo. We're here to minister to the Lord, to support people in worshiping God. The focus is meant to be on God, not on you. He looked around the band with this really confused expression on his face and said, what? That's just stupid. How's anyone going to know how good I am if I don't play solos, if I don't have an opportunity to stand out? Needless to say, he didn't show up for any more band practice. In fact, sadly, we didn't see that guy again. I mean, he was followed up and all of that. But you see, his attitude was all wrong. His expectations were really messed up. He had no idea what a worship team was all about. So much depends on our attitude. It really does. Today I want to look at a story, a parable that Jesus told, which speaks to the heart of this attitude issue in all of us. It's become known as the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Our attitude in any situation is really important, isn't it? Outward expressions are things that we do for others. The work we might do within the family and community here in Foster are important, but we all know that it always comes down to our attitude as we do that work. When somebody does something for us to help us out, it really feels very different if they make it clear to you that they don't want to be doing what they're doing. If, on the other hand, they're happily going about their work and appear to be enjoying an opportunity to help, if they have the right attitude, it becomes a totally different situation, doesn't it? So much depends on your attitude. Our attitude toward ourselves, our attitude toward others, and our attitude toward God. You know, Jesus told a story that addressed this very issue. In Luke chapter 18, we read, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable." That's all we have. At other times, Luke gives us a whole story to explain why Jesus told a particular story. But here, that's all we have. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we have two men who walk into the temple to spend some time praying. One of them, a Pharisee, a religious leader, a man who undoubtedly had great knowledge of the scriptures, a man who was somewhat set apart from his community as being particularly gifted, particularly pious, particularly committed to serving his God, a man who apparently had the right attitude, a man who was clearly the hero. I mean, he must be. He absolutely must be the hero of the story. I mean, he's a Pharisee. I have no doubt that the Jews hearing Jesus' story for the first time would have immediately thought to themselves, okay, I get it. Yep, this is the good guy in the story. Beside him stood another man, a tax collector, a worldly man who undoubtedly had great knowledge of the ways of the world, a man who knew how to turn a buck, a man who knew just how far he could push things before getting caught. He too was somewhat set apart from his community. Though not as the Pharisee was. No, this man was set apart from his community, not for being particularly pious, but rather because people disliked him. People hated him. People despised him. Why? They despised him because he collected taxes for the Romans and he filled his own pockets with the margin, the cream, which he put on top. He grew wealthy at their expense. He was a thief, a swindler, an immoral man, and everyone knew it, but there wasn't a lot that they could do about it, for he had the might of Rome standing behind him. Here was someone who, in ways that were apparent to all, had the wrong attitude. Jews hearing the story for the first time would have immediately thought to themselves, this is the villain. This is the bad guy in the story. Yet what does Jesus say about them? What does Jesus say about these two very different men? The first man, the Pharisee, the one who apparently had the right attitude, well, Jesus said that in fact his attitude was all wrong. His prayer meant nothing to God. His prayer, his self-righteous prayer, revealed the true state of his heart, and it didn't please God at all. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. He did some good things, and he wasn't a particularly wicked person. He didn't seem to steal from people. He didn't rip them off. He wasn't a womanizer and an adulterer. He even fasted twice a week. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Twice a week. He was pedantic about making sure that he gave a tenth of all that he got back to the Lord. Undoubtedly, he did some good things, yet he was overly impressed with himself for one simple reason. He compared himself with the wrong person. He felt great about his own righteousness because he was comparing himself with another man who wasn't really all that different to himself. When it comes to righteousness, there is only one person to compare ourselves with. There is only one standard that matters. That standard is God himself. His own righteousness is the one standard by which all will be judged. You see, it doesn't matter how we compare to other people. It only matters how we stack up against God. You know, some years ago, our kids were little, they were involved with the Tookley Shark Swim Club. They would train during the week with a squad, and then on Friday nights, they would meet together for races. And finally, it came time for the club championship. This was the big race of the year. The winner would bring home a great big trophy. Now, our daughter Gemma swam really well and won her age championship. But the thing is, she was the only 8-year-old in the club that year. As long as she swam in the race, she was going to win it. And she did. Things were a little different for her older sister, however. Lauren, on the other hand, didn't win, even though she also swam really well. In her age group, you see, there were heaps of swimmers and some very, very good state-level swimmers to boot. The point is this, it matters who you're up against, doesn't it? That's why the great swimmer Peter van der Hoogenband was so disappointed when Ian Thorpe retired in 2006. He was so keen for Thorpe to contest the 400 metres at the 2008 Olympics because it really matters who you're up against. He really wanted to beat Thorpe. For years he'd been training to beat Thorpe, and now he wasn't even going to compete. Of course, someone who's grown up in a Christian home and had years of teaching from God's word will be well-behaved and have some idea of what God expects of us. Of course, a Pharisee who was well-versed in the law knew what to do. He had all the external stuff down pat, and he was probably pretty righteous when compared to others. The problem is that when compared to God, he was still a sinner. He just didn't seem to see that. I just want to ask you today, how's your attitude about yourself? How do you see yourself in relation to others? The opening verse of our passage says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable." How's your attitude? Are you confident of your own righteousness? Do you think you're going pretty well? Do you feel pretty good, pretty righteous around the guys at work who maybe swear and blaspheme all the time? I know what that's like. Maybe you have family members who have no interest in knowing God. They're anti anything and everything to do with the church. How do you feel about yourself in comparison to them? Or maybe you're thinking about one of your neighbours who spends their Friday nights partying hard and yelling at their wife. Do you feel pretty righteous because you don't join them? Do you feel pretty righteous because you come along to church on a Sunday? You know, most of us have had years and years of teaching from the Word of God. Many of us have grown up in Christian homes with godly parents, and lots of our friends, maybe all of them, are Christians. We've been blessed with so much, and that's great. It really is. The problem is that it can lead to an unrealistic, distorted view of our own righteousness. There were some in Jesus' day who were confident of their own righteousness. Jesus directed his parable at them. Today we always need to ask ourselves, and I know I have been asking myself this all week as I've lived with this passage, in the deep recesses of my heart and mind, am I just like the Pharisee in Jesus' story? The problem is, it is so easy to begin to believe that somehow we deserve the blessings of God. None of us deserve the blessings of God. That's what grace is all about. Undeserved blessing. That kind of attitude, the attitude that Jesus was addressing, the kind of attitude that leads one to believe that they are better than everybody else, is actually a mark of spiritual immaturity rather than maturity. The closer you are to God, the more mature you will be spiritually. Yet the closer you get to God, the more you become aware of just how sinful you really are. Now, this week I read about a house in Scotland that was painted white, completely white. The house stood out clean and bright against the dark green backdrop of the grass-covered hills. The owner of this house was proud of his pristine white house. And then one day it snowed, and the entire countryside was transformed into a winter wonderland. Pure white snow covered everything. When the man looked at the cottage against the backdrop of the pure fallen snow, suddenly he noticed for the first time that it was actually pretty dingy and dirty. It was the same house. Nothing had changed about the house. It just had a different backdrop. When you compare yourself to a rapist, you know, it may appear to be morally clean, but when you stand up next to the purity of Jesus Christ, you'll see a very different picture. The closer you draw to God, the more time you spend in prayer and in reading the Bible, the more humbling it becomes. As you allow him to, the Holy Spirit shines his light into all the hidden recesses of your life and exposes sins, attitudes, thoughts, desires that you are previously unaware of. The Pharisee in Jesus' story had an attitude problem. He came to the temple to meet with God, but because of his attitude, all he saw was himself. And even that wasn't an accurate view. He didn't really see himself. He saw a distortion and a lie. He saw himself as a godly, righteous man, superior to everyone around him. But he was having himself on. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. The reality was, however, that compared to God, he was just like other men. He just couldn't see it. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector in Jesus' story has no righteousness of his own, and he knows it. Somehow the light of God broke into his life and it illuminated things for what they were, and he now knows just how far short he falls. He stood at a distance, embarrassed and ashamed. He couldn't even bring himself to look up to heaven. He just beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector, I think, knew that the law required that he repay everything that he'd stolen, plus 20%. How could he possibly do that? He couldn't even remember all the people that he'd ripped off. So many years, so many people. All he could do was fall on the mercy of God. How's your attitude? Have you been coming to God with the attitude of the Pharisee, self-righteous and pious, filled with your own self-importance and pride? Or do you come to God with the attitude of the second man, the tax collector, who had a better view of reality, a view that showed the blackness, the sinfulness, the rebelliousness of his own heart, held up against the purity and holiness of God, a view that showed the complete hopelessness of relying on his own righteousness? How's your attitude today? Is it a view of reality, or is it simply vanity? Proverbs 18 says, "Pride leads to destruction. Humility leads to honour." And the Apostle Peter said, "All of you should clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up." You do not want God opposing you. You know, attitude is everything. If your attitude is one of pride, then God will oppose you. But if we come to him with a humble heart, he promises to lift us up. And then, in his amazing grace, he promises to honour us. I want to finish today by reading to you another of Jesus' stories. It's a story about another person, this time a sinful woman who humbled herself and fell on the mercy of God. It's found in Luke 7. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him, what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman. He said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. She did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You don't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Your attitude toward God basically comes down to this, doesn't it? If you've been forgiven heaps, the chances are you're going to love him more than the person who thinks that they're pretty good. So let me ask you this morning, how much do you love God? How much has God done for you? These are really important questions that will shape your attitude towards yourself, toward others, and toward God. The Pharisees in both of Jesus' stories didn't have attitudes of overwhelming gratitude, as did the tax collector and the prostitute. And as I thought about these stories which Jesus told, I've come to the conclusion that it's all about having an attitude of gratitude. What a wonderful prayer to spend our days praying. Lord, give me an attitude of gratitude. Lord, restore to me an attitude of gratitude. Lord, as I recall all of your goodness to me, I am grateful. Amen. May the Lord bless you today.